BBC News with Neil Nunes. The president of Indonesia, Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono, has spoken out against the Australian Prime Minister Tony Abbott, accusing him of taking the spying scandal too lightly. Relations between the two countries are already strained over earlier spying allegations and the issue of boat people heading to Australia via Indonesia. David Bamford has this report.
The president of Indonesia has demanded a swift explanation from Australia over allegations that spying agencies listened to his phone calls. President Yudhoyono accused the Australian Prime Minister Tony Abbott of having shown a lack of remorse and called the scandal hurtful. He said Indonesia was reviewing its cooperation with Australia. In response, Mr. Abbott told Parliament he sincerely regretted any embarrassment to the president. On Monday, Jakarta recalled its ambassador from Australia.
The United Nations is preparing to begin a survey in the world's largest refugee camp, Dadaab, in northern Kenya, to find out how many of the nearly 500,000 Somalis who live there are prepared to go back to their own country. Last week, Kenya and Somalia signed an agreement with the UN to begin a voluntary repatriation program. Gabriel Gatehouse is in Dadaab.
One official here told me that so far fewer than 100 people have come forward to express an interest in the repatriation plan, and that in a refugee population of around 400,000 is a very low uptake indeed. Kenya says Al-Shabaab elements used Dadaab to plan and organise the attack on Westgate. It's unclear to what extent that's accurate, but people here agree that the Somali Islamist group is active in the camp. The United Nations Refugee Agency emphasises that returns will be on a strictly voluntary basis, but many of the refugees have been here for more than 20 years, and most say Somalia is simply still too dangerous.
Councillors in the Canadian city of Toronto have voted to strip further powers from its mayor, Rob Ford, who has admitted smoking crack cocaine and drinking heavily but refuses to step down. In a raucous debate, the council overwhelmingly approved measures to downgrade his authority. We have more details in this report from David Willis in Toronto.
Lacking the legal authority to remove Rob Ford from office and growing increasingly embarrassed by his antics, Toronto lawmakers have opted for what they believe is the next best thing, stripping the mayor of his powers in the hope of marginalising him. Many of those powers will now transfer to his deputy, but the seemingly irrepressible Mr. Ford clearly has no intention of going quietly. Council proceedings became heated after the mayor traded barbs with observers and then charged towards the public gallery, knocking a female councillor off her feet.
David Willis reporting. World News from the BBC in London. The president of Argentina, Cristina Fernandez, has resumed her duties and appeared on television for the first time since undergoing brain surgery 5 weeks ago. She had not made any public appearances since the operation in early October after she fell and injured her head. Voting is underway in Nepal in an election that's seen as vital in moving the country towards greater political stability. People are voting for a constituent assembly that will be tasked with drafting a constitution. Nishal Pandey, director of the Center for South Asia Studies in Kathmandu, explains why these elections are important.
This is going to be the second Constituent Assembly elections in a matter of 6 years. And the first Constituent Assembly could not draft the constitution for the country. So we are currently in a situation where there is no constitution, there is no elected government, there is no elected parliament, and also there is no elected local body. So it's a complete vacuum from the top to the bottom. So it is very imperative that we should have at least a Constituent Assembly to draft a new constitution for the country. I hope the elections are underway peacefully. But if the voter turnout is low, then the expectation is that it is also going to be a hung parliament yet again. Then we will be going for another sequel of instability in the country.
The man acquitted in July over the killing of an unarmed black teenager, Trayvon Martin, in the United States, has been arrested on charges of assaulting his girlfriend. Police said George Zimmerman was accused of pointing a gun at her during an argument. A British charity says thousands of lives could be saved in developing countries by more widely reusing pacemakers sent from richer nations. The charity Pace for Life says the devices which regulate the heartbeat can be safely removed when people die and re-implanted to help patients in countries where a pacemaker is otherwise unaffordable. The World Health Organization is due to study the issue at a conference later this week. BBC World News.